There's only one person in the Bay Area that gets an introductory music like that. That's Andy Baggerly, Extra Bags on Twitter. Covers the Giants for the Bay Area newspaper group. Andy, how are you?
Well, do I have to answer in the form of a question, Marty? What is I'm doing great?
Very good. All right. Well, he's a champion. He is a champion. I appreciate just a few minutes with you this morning. The Giants last night, I love you on Twitter and Alex and everyone else, and you know I'm on there as well. What were you thinking as that inning, the third inning, just wouldn't go away?
Well, I mean, you're thinking at first, can Jake hold down the damage? And then Conforto gets the hit, and then you're thinking, is he going to make it out of this inning? And how is their pitching going to line up? And then Broadway comes in, and then by the time Cespedes dug in, I said, okay, you know, what kind of pitches he hit the grand slam on, basically? It was almost a fait accompli. It's just one of those innings. They could not kill it, and then the rest of the game became, kind of a spring training scrimmage, basically, and you just hope nobody can get hurt the rest of the way. And then, lo and behold, Joe Panik pulls up with some groin tightness in the ninth inning. So, you know, that just put a cherry on top of the sundae, right?
Yeah, and he's not in there today. Tomlinson's in the lineup today. Andy, all the calls I'm getting, this morning and the tweets last night, I'm sure you and Alex and Henry and Chris got the same stuff. What about Jake Peavy? Do they run him out there again? What is the status on Jake Peavy?
Well, I got in the elevator with John Miller and Dwayne Kuiper on the way down to the clubhouse, and a rather inebriated Giants fan got in as well. and basically, he spent the entire ride down telling us, they got to sign Tim Lincecum. They got to sign Tim Lincecum. So, whether it's Lincecum or Chris Heston or Clayton Blackburn, I think there are a lot of segments of the fan base that are making themselves heard, and they've seen enough of Jake Peavy. But it's a long season, and you can't give up on plan A and go to plan B so soon, unless you think that there's no hope. Now, I do think it's interesting that they sent Heston out, because they probably figured, hey, you know what, the guy's not really helping us as a long man right now. He's not really being effective in that role. So let's might as well, the further we get from spring training, the longer it'll take to stretch him back out to start. Let's make him an option again to start and keep him in play in case we do want to make a change in the rotation. And he started last night and threw into the fifth inning and didn't give up a run in Salt Lake. So, I think he's going to be in the conversation the more he pitches well and the more Peavy struggles. But I don't think this is something that's going to happen, start to start. Peavy's going to get the ball later on this trip in Cincinnati. And, he's built up a lot of faith and a lot of goodwill with management. We all know that. They do believe he has it within him to pitch effectively. But he's getting to the point in his career, Marty, where it reminds me of a Barry Zito start or a late-stage Matt Morris, where if he's in the lively park or he's not getting much charity in the strike zone, it could be a difficult assignment. He's got to pitch backwards a little bit. You saw that walk to Lucas Duda came on the 10th pitch of an at-bat. He wasn't quite able to put him away. So I think it's within him to compete. But it's one of those where you're not going to just take out your stuff, roll out of bed, and dominate, like he could when in his 20s. He's going to have some stars aligned now, and then there are going to be some days when they don't align.
Boy, excellent analysis. I like the comparisons to Matt Morris and Zito. Very good. Very well done. Usually when you see a bullpen get chewed up and a guy throw 50 pitches in three innings, you don't see him the next day. You think they'll make any moves here to shore up the pitching, because they still have a long road trip ahead?
Well, I think, Mike Broadway might have saved his place on the roster by, retiring eight in a row after the bomb went off there. But, if he hadn't been able to sort of be that sacrificial lamb and they'd have to bring Oakard in earlier, then I think, there's a chance they send him out and they try to get somebody up here. But the fact that he was able to stretch and get those outs over the next two innings, I think really helped manage the situation, and they go into today's game. They're definitely going to need some length from Matt Cain because they did have to use Broadway and Oakert yesterday. Broadway's obviously going to be down for a couple days. But, the fact that he was able to rebound and get some outs makes the situation a little less dire. So I don't have any inklings of any roster moves right now. But, you know, another really, really short outing from Matt Cain could change the calculus.
Yeah, and I know you got to get going, but this Matt Cain against the Mets, he actually has good numbers against the Mets. And, you know, he's given them the certain innings, and then all of a sudden it falls apart after pitch 30. But Matt Cain against the Mets, DeGrom on the other side, who knows? This may be one that could surprise you.
And you know what, Marty? It's Noah Syndergaard and Gnome Day today at the ballpark. And, and then obviously we're going to see him tomorrow. You know, this Mets team, it's stunning, you know, isn't it? The tone that was set in this series last year was Chris Heston throwing a no-hitter. And the tone that was set this year was a 12-run inning. Mm. And we didn't see Michael Conforto last year. We didn't see Yoenis Cespedes. And even the Syndergaard that we saw wasn't quite the kid that you see now throwing a 94-mile-an-hour slider. You know, he was still finding his way, I think, with the strike zone and with major league hitters. And the Giants got 10 hits off him, and he hasn't given up that many hits in a start since then. So, you know, they're going to face a pitcher who's got a little more experience now in the Syndergaard tomorrow. And certainly DeGrom, you know, you've got your work cut out for you. So, you know, I think the Giants have to go into salvage mode and see what they can get out of this series. And the one thing is, Marty, they do well against other teams' aces. They, mm-hmm. Even last year when they struggled, the offense seemed to compete well, find ways to beat a Clayton Kershaw, and that maybe wasn't the case in the past, even in some of the World Series years. So, you know, I think that it's an offense that will try to put up a fight, and they know they're going to have to.
Yeah, there's still a World Series core, and I said this before the game last night. I said, don't be surprised if they surprise you this weekend, and I got surprised last night when Peavy got blasted out of there. But they still have that core. If it starts on the mound, if the pitcher can handle the other team, that core can play baseball. I tell you, the 4 or 5 guys against the Mets, it's the challenge of the weekend. That's the deal.
Yeah, oh yeah, I agree. I agree. And you know the starts for Peavy and Cain have been the rougher days for the Giants, and it goes back to what you were saying about getting that number one ingredient. You know, it's the flour in the cake, and you got to have it. And we haven't really seen Madison Bumgarner on his game. You know, he told me after his last start something is just not right with his delivery, and he's working to fix it. But Cueto's been fantastic. Samardzija, after his first start, has been fantastic. You know, they've been absolutely worth the investment so far. And once Bumgarner gets rolling, gets it figured out, then you think, okay, you know, then these guys can start getting in a position where maybe they can rattle off a win streak and maybe look like they were getting that way, winning 3 in a row, you know, to end the homestand. But then obviously came that third inning and goodbye win streak. So, you know, that's how you build momentum. A rotation does it, and they do it by challenging themselves, and the guy goes out, and he wants to follow a good start with another good start, and that's how teams get rolling. And I do think it's within the Giants to get into that groove, and it's still very early, and obviously no one's running away with the NL West.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, with the 500 team is leading the division. It's not the situation like in the East where the Mets have won 7 in a row and basically all they're doing is getting back square with the Nationals, who got off to such a great start. So the Giants can consider themselves fortunate in that regard, I think.
Well said. Andy, weather today, how's weather looking?
It's beautiful, Marty. It's a beautiful day. I'll tell you what, I got up early. I walked down to the Yes Bagel. I was going to get myself a nice bagel sandwich for breakfast. Okay. And the line was out the door and around the block. And then I thought, you dummy. It's a Saturday, it's sunny, it's beautiful, and it's the first day after Passover, so everyone wants their leavened bread. And I had to punt on the bagel sandwich. I'll have to try to do that tomorrow.
Very good.
But it's a beautiful day.
All right. Andy, thanks so much for the time, and we'll catch you on Twitter at Extra Bags. Thanks, Andy.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Andy Bagley. Great report from him. All right.